welcome again to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center, hometown hospital for the New York Giants. I'm Paul Dottino, along with David Deal. Glad you could join us once again as the Giants prepare to take on the Baltimore Ravens at MetLife Stadium on Sunday. Now, David, the Giants are on a three-game losing streak. A home game could be the best remedy.
It most certainly can, but this game is the exact gut check game that we thought would come up at some point in the season due to the fact that they have injuries on both sides of the ball that they're trying to overcome. But more than anything, when you go through a slide like this, when you face adversity, you have to rally together and come out and play physical, sound football. Otherwise, things are going to keep getting spilled over and over, and teams are going to smell the blood in the water.
Well, you've already mentioned the injuries. Let's get a look at the injury report, because it has grown to the point where we will actually need two pages to list everybody. A bunch of these guys are out, though they're pretty much the same suspects from last week, but there are a few new guys on the list, too.
And it's not a good thing when the injury list has to go two pages, Paul, because right now this is exactly where the Giants need to get players back out on the field to get things turned around, especially on the other side of the football. You look at the defensive side, not having Eli Apple, not having DRC, now seeing JPP and Olivier Vernon on this list. Things need to be fixed on the defensive side of the ball in order to stop the run and be able to attack the quarterback like they need to.
And, of course, NFL veteran Cordy Sensabaugh, a free agent who was released the other day by the Rams, has been added to the secondary to help out with the depth. Hey, Coach McAdoo is getting ready to address the media. Let's send it to him.
All right, Baltimore starts on defense with Baltimore. They're a thick, physical, and heavy-handed unit, highly ranked in most major categories. It starts with their front seven. They're playing combative football up front. Jernigan is playing at a high level. He's very disruptive, and they have a handful of pass rushers who need to be accounted for. They're very smart and instinctive in the secondary, and it's a veteran group there. Offense, they made a change of play caller this week, so we need to be ready for anything and everything. And expect the unexpected there. They have a Super Bowl-winning quarterback in Joe Flacco, surrounded by speed and physicality in all areas. Marshall Yanda is the guy who makes it go up front for them. Steve Smith and Mike Wallace provide the physicality and the speed on the perimeter. And Pitt is a guy who is a go-to guy for them when healthy. And they use a back-by-committee approach. Special teams, they have an NFL high of 10 block kicks over the past three seasons. And they have a trio of specialists who are all Pro Bowl caliber. And Devin Hester is as dangerous as ever. We'll open it up for questions.
Ben, what do you think Cody Sensabaugh can bring to the team?
Got to protect the Duke.
Well played.
What do you think Cody Sensabaugh brings to the team?
Veteran corners, played a lot of football. He has versatility inside and outside, and we're glad to have him aboard.
Ben, when they make a coaching change like that on the play caller, I mean, obviously they're not starting from scratch, but what do you have to kind of pay attention to as far as trends and stuff like that? Do you throw all that all out the window? Or?
Well, I think, he's been in the room with Joe for a little while, and you have to be smart as far as how you approach the game. You really have to trust your scheme and your training that way. I'm sure that, you know, they'll still have things they have hang their hat on schematically. Some tendencies may change, and we'll see how the game goes.
Coach, what's your expectation for Sensabaugh on Sunday?
We'll see how the week goes. He had a good start to the week today. We had him out on the field a little bit yesterday for an opportunity practice, typically reserved for some young players, but he jumped in with both feet.
What are your thoughts on where's Jason? I guess he didn't practice today. You know, will he practice tomorrow?
We'll see how he goes. We'll be smart with him. We'll take it slow.
What's going on with him?
He has a groin.
What about Kennard? Is he in the protocol?
He's in the protocol, yes.
Assume that happened on Sunday?
He's symptomatic after the game, yes.
How about Eli Apple and DRC?
They're both sore. DRC was limited today. Eli did not practice.
When you look at the ground attack, is it more you're down two guys you thought would have been your two main running backs? Is that, do you think, the reason you guys haven't run as well as you would have liked, or is it just guys, it's just execution, guys not doing their job?
I think it's a factor of a lot of things. The type of games we've been in the last two games, We had a chance to have a couple runs come out in Minnesota. We got to some nice runs in Green Bay. They're a tough team to run against. They defend the run well. They're top in the league. And we're going to have another big challenge this week. They do a nice job against the run. They're ranked high in a lot of categories, and they're a physical, thick unit. So we have our work cut out for us.
Is there any thoughts of getting Perkins more reps in the games?
We're looking and evaluating everything.
Does Jennings have a better shot at playing this week?
Better than last week, yep. Another week healthier.
Was he limited again today? Or
he He's limited.
I'm sorry, the plane was already. You said better than last week?
He has a better chance playing this week than last week.
Thank you.
Ben, do you need to see more out of your linebacker play, or was the Packers' offensive front and run game just tough to stop?
I think, when you take a look at the run defense, it's really all three levels factor. You can't point to, just one group or one position. It's a combination of things. And when you let the big backs get rolling downhill on you, it's tough to win the line of scrimmage.
What has to change with your running game if you have the same guys? I mean, if you don't get Jennings back, is there anything that has to change in terms of production?
No, I mean, it comes down to blocking. We need to block. We need to stay engaged. We need to finish better. The backs need to see it clean and put their shoulders down and knock a hole through it.
Coach, do you characterize Sunday's game as a must-win, or is it too early to make declarations like that?
A must-win? Every week it's a must-win, right? I mean, that's what you're working for every week. You go out on the field, you put in your preparation, you practice, you coach, you're trying to win every game.
When Eli has a bad game like he did on Sunday, do you kind of step back and let him fix it, or how hands-on are you with getting him back on the right track?
No, you flushed last week, and you move on to the next week. You put your time and your energy and your focus into the preparation, and you don't listen to the noise out there.
Do you change your approach with him at all? Or?
No, we're very consistent with the way we prepare.
With the pass rusher, you guys are obviously last in the league in sacks. What do you think is going on there?
We played some good teams. We played some good offensive lines. Played some good quarterbacks. And there are times when you pin your ears back and you go, and there are other times when you make a muddy A gap and try to push the pocket in there to not let the quarterback out. It all depends on the opponent.
Just given the talent, I mean, you guys have obviously some talented guys that can attack the quarterback. I mean, are you surprised by how that's gone so far?
Again, you look at it as a whole, and you evaluate it each and every week, and this week's a new week.
What went into the decision to switch OB and JPP, the sides they were coming from?
Game plan.
Ben, if you look at some of the numbers, I think the first and third quarters you've struggled. I mean, how do you start faster in those situations?
In which aspect? Offense?
Scoring.
Score. Yeah, we need to score more points, period. I mean, we had four first downs inside the 30-yard line. Two of them were inside the 15. And we need to score touchdowns in the green zone. Whether they're in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, we'll take them. We need points. We need to score touchdowns. You know, whatever we're averaging right now is not nearly good enough.
Ben, I know after the game, I think you asked this, but when Starks caught that ball at the 2:30 mark in the Green Bay game, and you called the final timeout and didn't challenge it, I know you said you didn't think it was an incompletion, but. Well, wasn't there nothing to lose at that point by challenging?
You didn't lose the challenge.
Right.
I like to win them.
Right.
I want to win everything we do. It's a competitor. I saw him catch the ball, make a football move, and I thought we had a chance to come up with a fumble.
Ben, do you anticipate any personal changes on the offensive line, or do you like the five that you've had the last
two? All seven guys are working right now, and... we compete for jobs each and every week.
Eric Flowers says he expects to play the whole game. Is that the case? Will you be the starter?
You want me to tip my hand?
Well, no. I mean, is there a disciplinary reason why he might not be, or a performance decision why he might not
be? He started the practice at left tackle today.
Ben, if Jason is limited at all, you haven't really had a lot to see from his backups. They haven't played a lot. What do you like about those three young guys at defensive end?
You know, they come to work every day. Fundamentally, they're improving tremendously. They get a lot of reps at practice, and they're improving.
Ben, are you considering not calling the plays? I mean, you said everything's on the table the other day. Is that a change that you might consider?
Again, each and every week we evaluate everything, and I'm not going to talk about play calling duty.
Is Darian Thompson any closer? Or?
Yeah, yes, he's closer. He's making progress. Not ready again this week.
How about Nat?
Nat's still in the protocol.
Did Al practice today? Will he be okay for Sunday?
He's still in the protocol. Today was a non-contact practice for him.
And just going back to what you were saying about the offense starting faster and everything like that, have you given any thought about maybe not deferring, putting the offense out there and just letting them get into a rhythm instead of, you know, taking the chance that maybe the defense gets off the field right away, maybe they don't?
We evaluate it on a game-by-game basis. If we put our defense out there first, we expect them to get a stop.
So Kennard and Donnell are in the physical non-contact portion of the protocol, but
Donnell
is. Nat is not.
Nat is not, nor is Kennard. Okay. Tomorrow, Kennard will be out.
He was out here today, though, on the side, correct?
Yes.
Anything else?
Thanks, Ben.
All right, thank you.
And with that, Coach McAdoo and the Giants continue preparations for a Baltimore Ravens team that is coming off two straight losses. They've got a very challenging defense. Can the Giants score more points this week? Stick around. We'll tell you how. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center here on MSG. It's time for our GEICO news update. In 15 seconds can save you 15% or more on your auto insurance. And it's got to be about the Giants' struggling offense. David, over the summer, I don't think any of us thought that this would be the case right now.
No, I don't think that anybody thought that it would. But at the same token, some of the same issues that are presenting themselves in these losses are the same ones that plagued last season. The ability to protect Eli Manning, to give him a comfortable pocket to where he can deliver the football accurately and get those shots downfield and get the ball to the skilled receivers that they have. So it starts up front, but it also has to do with the ability of being able to run the football. So they are not in third and long. So fundamentally, they've got to play better. Eric Flowers and Bobby Hart on the outside have got to set the edge and pass protect to the best of their ability because they've got a big physical group coming in.
The knocks on Eli right now has been his lack of accuracy. In fact, the game against Green Bay the other night, he was under 52% completions for only the third time in the past three seasons. How much do you think he's hearing footsteps?
I mean, this offense is already predicated on him getting the football out of his hands fast. But when you're getting pressured, when you're getting hit, and you don't have that confidence in your group up front as a quarterback, it is going to affect your timing. It is going to make you deliver things quicker than you'd like to, and it's going to take the touch off of your football, especially when you're trying to step up, deliver the football, and drive it. And if you're not able to step up, that's where you see that ball sail and get over the top.
David, we hear a lot of the players talk about how defenses are playing the cover two with two deep safeties to prevent a big play. But yet the Giants are only running for 84 yards a game and only had 43 yards on the ground against Green Bay. Does that running game have to improve to get those people out of it?
It has to improve, because what they're doing when they play that two-man sink too high, they're asking you to run the football. They're giving you the safeties deep so that you're playing seven-on-seven football. So it comes down to determination, and it comes down to finishing your blocks, because you don't know whether you're front side or back side if your block is going to make or break that play. And it's got to start on first and second down so that they are not in third and longs up against this group.
Now, Manning's been sacked 9 times so far this season. And the Giants, however, though, are tied for the 5th most in the NFL, giving up 29 quarterback hurries. Do you even try adjusting the offensive line personnel?
I mean, usually you talk about the offensive line, about cohesiveness and consistency and playing together for a long period of time. So you really don't want to change. But if there's something broke, you need to fix it. So you heard Coach talk about that Ereck Flowers playing left. He didn't want to tip his hand whether or not Will Beatty is going to come in and play or not. But at this point, we know that Will Beatty is physically in shape. He's ready. He's got the grasp of the offense. So we will see as this week continues if there's going to be a change at left tackle.
The offensive line, whoever's playing, is going to have to be a powerhouse against the Ravens defense that is terrific against the run. Number 3 in the NFL by only allowing 33 runs of 3 yards or less. They are stout.
They are big. They are physical. They run that 3-4 scheme that Dean Pease loves. And they have inside interior defensive tackles and nose tackles that are 335-pound plus. They are stout on the edges. Zachary Orr and C.J. Mosley are fast linebackers that can run and can get over the top and really reach those outside stretches. So it's going to be a challenge for the Giants' offensive line to block these guys up front.
By the way, did we talk about their pass rushing ability? Terrell Suggs, 4 sacks after last year's Achilles injury.
He's still a savvy vet. He's unbelievable with his hands and transitions from power to those hand moves. Talk about Elvis Dumervil, who is that outside, that bend and dip edge spinner. And then Jimmy Jernigan as well. He has 3 sacks, and he moves inside to that 3 technique and sub. They get after the quarterback with their front 4, and they do some blitzing, but they are able to do it with their front 4 alone.
Now, their secondary is not so bad either. In fact, they're number 2 in the NFL, only allowing 9 completions of at least 20 yards this season. So they're preventing big plays.
They really are, and it's because of the upfront 4 that they are able to provide that pressure from the outside and the inside. They don't rely on blitz each and every time, but they will dial it up. But it's led in the back by Ereck Weddle. He is their quarterback. He was their key addition as a free agent this year. He's playing that Ed Reed role, making sure that they have everybody lined up. And Jimmy Smith, who is their number 1 corner, he is big, he is physical, and if he had hands like a wide receiver, he would lead the NFL in interceptions right now.
So is the best way to take the teeth out of this defense, pound it out, wear them down?
They have to come out and play physical and be ready to play smash-mouth football for 4 quarters, because that is what it's going to take up against this group.
All right, folks, when we come back, we will flip the coin and change it to the other side of what the Giants have to do on defense. So stick around. More after this on MSG. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center here on MSG. Now, David, even though the Giants have lost 3 in a row, in each of those games, they have been within a touchdown in the 4th quarter. This defense is keeping them alive.
They really are. You could see that they're fighting, they're scratching and clawing and giving it everything they've got, especially in opportunities like they had up against the Green Bay Packers, being able to stop Aaron Rodgers and keep him under 23 points, which is a feat in itself. You have to start getting more production out of the group up front, and you have to continue to make takeaways on the defensive side of the ball to help out this offense.
I think we all thought that the Giants front four would get a good enough pass rush on its own, but David, you know, we all know they only have 4 sacks this season, last in the league. All 4 have come on the blitz.
Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. At this point in the season, 4 sacks in 5 games is not what the Giants thought they were going to have, and it's not what the Giants need, especially with the secondary being as hurt as they are. So it's not only JPP and Olivier Vernon on the outside. They have got to get more pressure on the interior of their defensive line to make sure that Joe Flacco is very uncomfortable in the pocket, to where either he cannot step up because of the depth of the pocket collapsing at his feet, or where he has to back up, where those DNs are running right to where the offensive tackles are taking them.
Now, the Giants' rush defense was gouged a little bit by Eddie Lacy the other night. The Giants allowing season highs of 147 yards on the ground, and for the first time all year, more than 4 yards per carry.
And it comes down to run fits, and it comes down to fundamentals, missed tackles. You can't take Eddie Lacy high. Everybody knows that, and when you do that, he is just going to break through arm tackles. And what did you see? You saw it carry over to other phases of the game, just like Randall Cobb on that third down where they had him stop. But once again, missed tackles. So one goes to the other to the other. So they need to get back down to fundamentals, gap discipline, and make sure they make it a long day for Terrence West.
David, it's time to get to our Twitter question of the week. It comes from JSB826901. Says, how much is Spags being limited to and what he does because of injuries? I'll give you a number. Passing plays by the opposition, the Giants have only blitzed 22% of the time.
Then they've played more zone than they have in the past because of the injuries. So you have to put people in position to win. And when you have backups in there, it doesn't allow you to have the flexibility in scheming and in disguising coverages like you would like to in his system.
Now, one thing that has worked well, at least it did the other night, was Jackrabbit. Janoris Jenkins came up with the first 2 defensive takeaways of the year. One was a deflected pick. The other was a coverage pick.
And in a tough game and a rough game that they played, he was the MVP. He really turned things around. And they had 2 or 3 other opportunities that Aaron Rodgers gave them and presented them to be able to get more takeaways. But having said that, even with the 2 takeaways, it only led to 3 points. So the more that they get and the more that they continue to ramp up, you hope that the Giants will be able to capitalize on
it. Is it to the point where you think you should shadow the best receiver with him, or would you still play straight up?
Well, we'll see how they're going to play it with DRC out, but they're going to have to do something to make sure that they stop these outside threats for the Ravens offense.
Now, we all know that this past week the Ravens made a much publicized move. They changed offensive coordinators.
They did. Marty Mortenwig took over. This is Flacco's 5th offensive coordinator in 5 seasons. So they're still going to run their West Coast scheme. They're going to get down to running and play action. But I have a big feeling that he is going to be more aggressive and he is going to take more shots downfield to open things up so that they can put points on the board.
Yeah, Mark Trestman is out, and he was known for a wide open passing type of attack. Joe Flacco still at quarterback, though, and this guy does have a Super Bowl ring, as Coach McAdoo said.
He gets the ball out quick. He gets it out in 2.5 seconds or less. He has a strong arm. And the thing that you have to make sure that you do is you can't let him get his hot streaks, because there's times where he's completed 17, 18, 19 completions in a row. So they've got to make sure that they get the pressure on him and make sure that he has those interceptions like he has the 5 touchdowns to 4 this season.
To this point, Flacco's throwing the ball an average of 43 times a game. That's an NFL high, and he's got some pretty good targets.
Steve Smith, at 37 years old, is still the number one target. And then he has that big play threat, and he sets the tone for everybody. Mike Wallace has that deep speed to stretch the field and stretch it vertically. And Perriman, he has that 4.25 speed. So I think this is a game, like I said, where Marty Mortenwig is going to try to air it out more and play to the strengths of their offense and right now the weakness of the Giants' defense, the secondary.
Now, suddenly the Ravens have found a running game. Terrence West is averaging 6.5 yards a carry over the last 2 games, 113 yards against Oakland, 95 against Washington.
And it starts off with the offensive line playing physical. They have some young offensive linemen up front. They've got rookies. They'll go unbalanced with their first rounder, Ronnie Stanley, and play him at the tight end. And that Oakland game 2 games ago was really when they started to get the run game going, which is scary because now it's been 2 weeks. This is the third week, so if they can put it all together, that can cause problems for this Giants defense.
David, it's going to be old-fashioned roller derby. A lot of black and blues and bruises dished out on Sunday at MetLife Stadium between the Giants and the Baltimore Ravens. We'll see you there, and if not, next week for Giants Press Conference Live.